Thank you, praise team. Thank you so much. Those songs, really, I don't know if they got to you, but they sure got to my heart this morning. We are not alone. That is for certain. We are not alone. This morning, we're going to speak on something that a lot of us don't like to hear. And I'm just going to put this disclaimer out there to everybody this morning that this applies to me just as much as it is to anybody else. I've had a lot of people come up to me over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks, and they've said, Dennis, I praise God that he brought the story of Jonah to me. And every person that has came up to me and said that, my response to them has been, God is good. He knew what I needed in my own life. We're going to take on what we've been speaking of in the book of Jonah, because in the book of Jonah, you actually see what I'm going to be speaking of this morning. You see, in the book of Jonah, we talked about somebody that became prideful, somebody that became haughty. And they thought that they were better than the people that God wanted him to go out and pursue and to preach the message of forgiveness, to preach the message of repentance and judgment, impending judgment. You see, Jonah became humble. God humbled Jonah. God humbled Jonah in the belly of that fish. He had to get Jonah down on his knees. He had to get Jonah down on his spiritual knees because Jonah had built up this attitude of, hey, I'm too good for these people. You don't desire for me to go out and preach to these people. We're much better than these people. Is that not the mentality of the world that we live in today? We want to put distinctions on class. We want to put distinctions on social lives. We want to put all these man-made distinctions that God never intended us to put upon mankind. God made us all in his image. He created man out of dust. And he created us all in the same image, and he loves us all the same, but yet we become prideful, and yet we want to set standards. We want to say it has to be done this way. We want to say it can't be done this way. God, it has to be done this way. But yet we serve a God that created the universe in 6 days. Do you not think if he created the universe in 6 days that he knows what he's doing? And he's perfectly capable and he doesn't need our input. So today we're going to be talking about humility. Because it's something that we lack today. It's something that Christians lack today. It's something that the church lacks today. If you look up the word humility in the dictionary, it states that humility is freedom from pride, freedom from arrogance. In the Old and the New Testaments, you see many, many examples where God humbled people. God made a proud or disobedient person, and he brought him into subjection. He brought him into his submission. That's exactly what he did in Jonah. And you see that time and time and time again. All throughout God's word, you saw where people became prideful. As I was studying this week, I saw a quote from C.S. Lewis. And he says this, true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. It is thinking of yourself less. Today, we're going to dive into God's word, and I'm going to go over five characteristics of humility. Not five characteristics of the way the world defines humility, but five characteristics of what God's word says humility is. Let us pray. Our Father, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you so much for this time that you've given us to come together as one, to come together and open up your word, to come together and listen to what it is that you have for us this morning. I pray that each of us would open up our hearts. I pray that we would open up our minds. I pray that we would just look to you and ask you, God, what are you saying to me, God? What can I change in my life? How can I become more like you? I pray that we would be open to what it is that you have to say this morning. And I pray that we would just allow you to speak to us. But once you've spoken to us, Father, I pray that we would take what you've given us to become more like you. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So five characteristics of God's humility. First point, humility is obedience to Jesus Christ first. That's where humility begins, is Jesus Christ. You have to be obedient to what it is that Christ is calling you to do. I'd like for you to turn into Zephaniah chapter 2. I'd like to read verse 3. Seek the Lord, all who are humble, and follow his commands. Seek to do what is right and to live humbly. Perhaps even yet the Lord will protect you from his anger on that day of destruction. You see where the prophet here is speaking on being humble. He's speaking and he's saying that a humble man seeks the Lord. A humble man follows the Lord's command, doing what God as the creator and the master and the center of the universe, and putting others before yourself. But it doesn't stop there. Zephaniah was also speaking of listening, actually listening and following God. Listening and following God. And putting others before yourself. That's what true humility is. Putting others before. Thanksgiving is less than 2 weeks away. It's a time of giving thanks. Christmas is coming up in over a month. Growing up, I use Thanksgiving and I use Christmas as for selfish reasons in my life. I looked at them, I look back at them, and I look on so many occasions where I was prideful in my life because I was focused on what I wanted. I was focused on what I desired. But God humbled me and God has shown me over the course of the last 20 years of my life what Thanksgiving and what Christmas is truly is. It's about getting out there and showing the love of Christ. It's about going out there and serving. Serving. DJ talked at the beginning of the service about an opportunity that we have Thursday. We have an opportunity this coming Saturday, where we are going to serve those that are in need. I pray that we have people step up to the plate and come help to go out there. But we're not doing this to put Grace's name on this mission. We're doing this to put God's name in the mission and saying, God loves you. So humility It's about serving others, about being obedient to Jesus Christ first. The humble actually strive for three things in their lives. Number one, they strive for the Lord. If you're not being obedient and you're not striving to the Lord, you're not going to be humble. Number two, we must strive for Christ's righteousness. Christ's righteousness, not our own. We can't become righteous in our own name. We're dirty in our own name. We were sinners in our own name. That's why God sent Jesus to die for us on that cross, was to wash us and to make us clean. We have to be pursuing Christ's righteousness. But the humble also strive to pursue Christ-like humility. Christ-like humility. You see many examples in God's word, and I'm going to get into a few here in a minute, but you see many examples in God's word of Christ being humble. Christ did not think he was too good to go to this town, or he was too good to go for this town. Christ didn't look at somebody's bank account. Christ didn't look at the situation that he was going into. God called him into a situation and he went. He was fully obedient in what God was calling him to do. Are you this morning completely willing to give up your comfort? Are you completely willing to give up yourself to be obedient to what it is that Christ is calling you to do? So a humble person strives for the Lord, Christ's righteousness and Christ's humility. Righteousness, Christ's righteousness and Christ's humility can only come from seeking the Lord first and obeying his commands. There is no other way. There is no other way to pursue Christ's righteousness and Christ's humility without obeying his commands. Are you this morning seeking the Lord in all that you are doing? We'll never find the Lord, Christ's righteousness, or Christ's humility if we're pursuing what it is that we want. If it is pursuing what we desire. You see a church throughout the world today that's more concerned about pursuing what the world wants instead of pursuing what it is that God wants. We serve a church today that is afraid to say no to the world and yes to Christ. It's time that we stand up for Christ, and it's time that we stand up for his name. And the only way that we can stand up for his name and that we can stand up for Christ is if we stand down ourselves. Are you willing to stand down this morning yourself? Are you willing to get into the weeds, where sometimes those weeds get higher than your height? But in the light of being in the midst of those weeds with Christ by your side, you're never lost. It's like being in a corn maze and not knowing where in the world you are, yet you have a peace because you know Christ is leading you. I like to share James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God. Morning, let's take the time to actually do what that verse says. Let's take the time this morning to remove the filth and to remove the evil from our lives so we can actually do what it is that God is calling us to do. If you're not willing to get rid of the evil and you're not willing to get rid of the filth, you're not going to be obedient to what Christ is calling you to do. So this morning, we need to take an opportunity We need to take the opportunity to do exactly what James is telling us to do. We've got to get rid of the filth. We've got to get rid of the evil. We've got to get rid of the gossip. We've got to get rid of the slander. We've got to get rid of the maliciousness, because when we have all those things, we don't have the name of Christ. So this morning, let's stand up for the name of Christ, because I serve a risen Savior that is much better than slander, that is much better than gossip, that is much better than maliciousness. Those are not attributes of Jesus Christ. So this morning, let's take what James is telling us. Let's take what Zephaniah is telling us and get that true humility that his word speaks of. One who has in meekness has received the word of God and is saved by God's word, which actually in and of itself eliminates wickedness. The humble actually obey God's word as greater than anything else. If you're being humble, you are being completely obedient to God's word. Not just one aspect of God's word, but every aspect of God's word. You have to be willing to remove every part of yourself. You have to be willing to give it all. You have to be willing to surrender it all. This morning, are you willing to surrender it all, or are you trying to hold on to a part that you think you can control? Because God will eventually show you the one part that you think you can control, you have no control of. That's the way that Christ works. You either give Christ everything or you get nothing. This morning, are you giving Christ everything? Are you giving him all of your problems? Are you giving him all of your trials? Are you giving him all of your tribulations? And are you raising your hands this morning and saying, Christ, I'm willing to go with you? Obedient to what it is that you're calling me to do. The disciples even struggled with that in their times. The disciples even became prideful and even malicious and slanderous at times. And they actually, you know, Peter, you know what he did? He denied Christ three times. God went on to use him in a mighty, mighty way. And God desires to do the same for you. But just like Peter had to get rid of the pride and had to get rid of the arrogance and had to get rid of those things, you have to remove those things from your life too. If we are not in full obedience to God's word, then we are actually declaring three different things. Number one, we had more knowledge than God. If you're not being obedient to God's word, that is exactly what you are declaring. You are declaring, I am more knowledgeable than God, and I know better than God. Number two, we had more direction than God. You're saying, God, I know this isn't the direction I'm supposed to go this morning. God knows better. Number three, if you're not being fully obedient to God, you're saying, we believe God's ways are useless. If you are not being fully obedient to Christ and his calling, that's exactly what you were telling God this morning. You're telling him, God, I have more knowledge than you. God, I know the direction of my life better than you do. And God, your ways are useless. Are you saying that to God this morning? Are you looking at your life this morning, and is that what you're telling him? When God created you, he created you in his image. He sent his son to die for you, and yet you believe that you know more than God? And you think you can map out your life better than God can map it out? I'm here to speak for myself. I've tried to map out my life before. I've tried to do those things. I've told God, hey, I'm more knowledgeable than you. I've told him I know which way I need to go, and I've told him that it's useless. It didn't go so well for me. It's not going to go so well for you either. You got to humble yourself, and you've got to be obedient to Jesus Christ first. Point number two, once we are in full obedience to Jesus Christ, humility is actually submission to authority. Humility is actually submission to authority. Peter's charge, let's go ahead and put 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 up. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter's charge here to the young and to the old was to place themselves willingly under those who have been given leadership or authority. Even those that are actually responsible to serve, even those in authority are actually responsible to serve. If you're in leadership, you have a responsibility to serve. You're no better than anybody else. We've been having a leadership class the last 2 weeks for all leaders within the church. And I love the continuous message that we've had over the course of the last 2 weeks. A lot of people think leadership is about a position, but that's completely wrong. That's the world's definition of leadership. The definition of leadership is influence and service. If you're not influencing and you're not serving in leadership, you're not going to be an effective leader. We serve in a world today where people look at leadership and they think of it as a position. I've had it said to me over the course of the last month or so, Dennis, you're just in this for a position. I'm going to make a bold statement this morning. That is an utter lie. If you all only knew how uncomfortable I am when I get up here. If you all only knew how uncomfortable I am in resolving conflict. But it's something that God has called me to do. And since God has called me to do it, I'm not going to avoid the calling. So for those of you that have questioned me and asked me if I'm standing up here because I want a position in the church, you are sorely mistaken. I have a full-time job that takes very good care of me. And yet, I'm willing to sacrifice it all on the line because I know what God is calling me to do. Leadership is not about a position. It's about humbling yourself and getting out there and serving others. Leadership requires humility. The perfect example of serving others is Jesus Christ himself. And you can actually see this in John chapter 13. And I'm going to read all 17 verses. Here you see Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested. You will never, ever wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Jesus replied, a person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Here in this story of John chapter 13, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, he got into one of the lowliest positions there was at that time. A person that washed feet was thought of as a house servant, and they always washed the feet of the guests that came into the home. A very lowly position, but yet Jesus was willing to do it. Jesus was willing to humble himself. He was willing to humble himself. We can't practice humility without practicing service. If you're a humble person, you're all about serving others and not yourself. Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. I know I'm working you to death, Casey. I'm sorry. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You saw where we read in John chapter 13, the disciples had lost focus on the divine purpose of God's kingdom. They became more concerned with seeking positions of esteem rather than seeking a place of service. And you see that here in Matthew 18. The disciples themselves were more concerned about a position than they were practicing service. We serve at church today where people are more concerned about a position than they are souls, than they are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm tired of serving. A worldwide church where people want to put themselves on a pulpit instead of putting Christ at the pulpit. We've got to stop putting ourselves up here. And we got to start allowing God to speak. We got to allow God what he desires to do. And the only way to do that is to humble ourselves. To be obedient to Christ. Service must be directed towards other people. We cannot direct service towards ourselves. A humble servant cares about others. And service is the practice of active submission. We cannot be more concerned about position than we are about serving people. Martin Luther King, I came across this quote this week as I was studying, and I just want to share it with you all. I thought it was a great quote. Martin Luther King Jr., he once said, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. So point number two, once we are in full obedience to Jesus Christ first, humility is then being submitted to authority. Third point I want to make is humility takes no pride in oneself. Humility takes no pride in oneself. Can you put up Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12? I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. In other words, we don't look to ourselves to discover knowledge. We don't look to ourselves for discernment. Those are things that Christ will give you. Those are things that you have to look to Christ for. Those are things that you have to look to God for. The humble put no trust in themselves. Are you putting trust in yourself this morning? Or are you putting your trust in God? The only way that we are going to make it as a person, the only way that we are going to make it as a church, the only way that we are going to make it as a Christian is to stop trusting in ourselves. How many of us have put trust in ourselves? How many of us have tried to resolve our trials, our tribulations ourselves? How many of us, when we have actually relied on ourselves in those situations, have failed? Most of the time when I rely on myself, I fail. This morning, I'm going to challenge you. If you're relying on yourself for the solution, you're going to fail too. The church is going to fail if we don't start relying on Christ. And we are the bride of Christ. That's what the church is. We are the bride of Christ, yet we are allowing the world to come in and transform us. When we're conforming to the world instead of transforming into Jesus Christ. That's not godly. That's not Christ-like. I refuse to sit back and see people transform to the world and conform to the world. I don't know about you, but my heart breaks this morning for people that I know that are struggling, for people that I know that are hurting this morning. My heart breaks. Your heart should break for those people too. You shouldn't think you're too good for them. Just as though Jonah thought he was too good for the Assyrians. We can't have that mentality that we're too good for people that have hurt us. You look at what the Assyrians did in the book of Jonah. They were brutal, mean people. But God didn't turn his back on them. And we can't turn our back on those that have hurt us. We can't turn our back on the lost this morning. We can't turn our back on what we've seen happen to our government leaders. God's word says we're supposed to pray for him. God's word says we're supposed to unite together. If we don't care each other, if we don't humble ourselves, we will never get to that point. A person who thinks he or she is greater than another is going to experience a downfall. If you think you're better than somebody else this morning, I'm here to tell you, you may think you're better than somebody else at this moment in time, but the time is coming. God's word tells us that pride leads to a downfall. and the downfall is coming. But those that are humble will have strength. Those that are humble will have God's strength. Those that are humble will have the determination to go on. Do you have that pride this morning, or do you have that humbleness? Do you have that humility? Pride in God's word frequently refers, you see it many times where it's referred to arrogance. You see where it's referred to vanity. You see where it's referred to as being puffed up. You see this oh so many times in God's word. God actually despises the proud. You know why he despises the proud? I'm going to give you four references, and they're all in Scripture. So this isn't coming from me. This is coming from God's word. Can you put up Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12? God despises the proud, number one, because it brings disgrace. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Number two, it breeds quarrels. That can be seen in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Here it says, pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. Why do we see conflict in the church today? Why do we see conflict amongst Christians today? It's because of pride. We're pursuing what we want. The wise take advice from God himself. Pride is destroying churches today because it's bringing conflict into churches today. I've seen that many a time the last 5 months in this church where pride has caused quarreling. So number one, it brings disgrace. Number two, it brings quarrels. Number three, pride happens before destruction. And that can be seen in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, where it says, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. And number four, pride actually brings humiliation. That can be seen in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. For those of us that may have some pride this morning, that pride is not doing us a bit of good. That pride is going to bring us disgrace. It's going to cause conflict. It's going to bring destruction. And it's eventually going to bring humiliation to our lives. But it's not just going to bring humiliation to our lives. It's going to bring humiliation to those around us. So pride is contrary to what God desires in our lives. God desires humility. You see Jesus Christ and you see the perfect example of humility. When you look and see what Jesus Christ did when he was living, when he walked and he talked upon the earth, when he was out preaching, you never see Jesus becoming prideful. Jesus humbled himself. Even in the midst of being on trial before Pontius Pilate and all the Romans, even when the people were yelling, crucify him, crucify him, did Jesus Christ get prideful in that moment? No. He humbled himself. You know why Jesus Christ humbled himself in that moment? You know why Jesus Christ humbled himself upon that cross? To serve you and I. To serve you and I. He didn't crucify himself. He didn't go out and preach and travel all that land that he traveled when he was preaching. He didn't do those things for his own benefit. He did that for you and me. And that's what he desires of us this morning. So let's give up our pride so we can become more like Jesus Christ himself. Fourth point, humility accepts God's providence. Humility accepts God's providence. I want us all to understand something. Our circumstances frequently change. In fact, if your life is anything like mine, my circumstances will change many times in one day. I can go from being on top of the world to being down in the lowliest of a valley all in the same day. And it's like a roller coaster ride all day long. Some days it's like a roller coaster ride all day long. So our circumstances frequently change. However, the humble actually know true joy. Do you know why the humble actually know true joy? The humble know true joy because the humble are content on the inside due to the provision of Christ. The humble are content on the inside. That's where joy is. Joy can be found inside with Christ. Happiness is found on the outside. But when you have joy living in your heart, and if you have Christ, you have that joy living in your heart. Can you put up James chapter 1, verse 9? It says, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. I'm going to read that one more time. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. It is commonly believed that Jesus and his brother James were poor in possessions for the majority of their lifetimes. When you look at Jesus, he was a carpenter. But Jesus doesn't look at your possessions. Jesus doesn't look at your accomplishments. Jesus looks at your heart. And when you're humble and you've given yourself completely to Christ and you have surrendered it all to him and you're living, Christ, God is looking at you and he's honored. You can have $1 million in your bank account. You can have the best looking house in the neighborhood. But those things are going to fade. Those things are going to die away. So while you may look at your house and you may look at your bank account and you may become prideful because of the good life that you have materially, the fall is coming. The fall is coming. Popularity and wealth, those things are all going to pass away. But individuals that place our faith in Christ are the brothers and sisters of humility. Christ is never going to go away. The only way that Christ is going to go away is if you don't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And one day when your earthly life comes to an end, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's going to say, I never knew you. But he's given you that opportunity this morning to humble yourself and to know him. He desires to know you. He wants you to humble yourself this morning. And for those of you that may know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he also wants you to humble yourself. He wants you to get rid of that pride. He wants you to get rid of that arrogance. And he wants you to pursue him. He wants you to humble yourselves. He wants all of us to get down on our spiritual knees, because down on our spiritual knees is where we should stay. When we are down on our spiritual knees, we're in the best position that we can stay in. Because when you're down on your spiritual knees, you're relying on Christ 100%. How many of us have humbled ourselves and are relying on Christ 100% this morning? Humility is the one who says, "Don't worry, God is in control." God shows you what it's like to actually trust and rely on Him. But you have to be willing to give it all up. And you have to be willing to actually rely on God. Are you relying on God this morning in your life? Or are you relying on what you've relied on the last 20 years of your life? And you're just going through life with the roller coasters all the time. God doesn't intend for your life to be a roller coaster. He doesn't intend of any of our lives to be a roller coaster. He desires for us to rely upon Him 100% of the time. And the only way that we can do that is through humility. God knows what's going on with the election, believe it or not. God knows what's going on with all these hurricanes this year. The worst hurricane season ever. More storms than there have ever been. In fact, they've went through a lot of the Greek alphabet. God knows, and they'll see how we've responded to the election. And man, they've got to think we're hypocrites. They have to think we're hypocrites from the way that Christians have responded. What's caused that? Pride. Pride's caused that. Point number 5. Humility values others over self. Humility values others over self. Can you put up Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, please? Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Can you go to verse 4? Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Humility is a virtue that every Christian should be striving for as we seek each other's best. Paul encouraged the Philippians to consider others before themselves, just as Jesus Christ did himself. How much do you think of others? How much do I think of others? How much do we value others more than we value ourselves? We serve today in a worldwide church that's not practicing these principles. People are putting more value on themselves and what they want instead of pursuing what Christ wants. The world will say, okay, this lifestyle is acceptable. And the church will say, okay, well, we've seen this lifestyle over the last 5 years. We can conform to it and put it in the church, when God's word clearly says that's wrong. The church has to stop caving in to what the world is trying to filter in. That's the problem with the church this morning. That's the problem with churches this morning. That's the problem with Christians this morning. We're allowing the world to transform our lives instead of allowing Christ to transform our lives. In C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, there's an observation at the very end of the chapter on pride. And I just want to share this briefly. If we were to meet a truly humble person, Lewis says, we would never come away from meeting them thinking they were humble. They would not be always telling us they were a nobody, because a person who keeps saying they are nobody is actually a self-obsessed person. The thing we would remember from meeting a truly gospel humble person is how they seem to be totally interested in us. Because the essence of gospel humility is not thinking more of myself or thinking less. So, the conclusion to my sermon today, and I'm going to ask them to come up and lead us in a song of invitation. My conclusion today is the humble, number one, are in full obedience to Jesus Christ first. Number two, the humble are submissive to authority. Number three, the humble take no pride in ourselves. Number four, the humble accept God's providence. And number five, the humble value others more than ourselves. This morning, I'm going to ask you to look at your life. And I'm going to ask you, have you humbled yourself? Or do you have a sense of pride that's came into your life, maybe came into your heart, and it's trying to outweigh Christ? That pride can never outweigh Christ. But that pride can get in the way of what Christ desires to do through you. To be effective, to be 100% obedient to what it is that Christ desires to do in your life, you have to remove that pride. So this morning, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Let's remove that pride this morning. Let's get on our spiritual knees and let's pursue that Christ-like humility that we've read about this morning, that we've seen about in God's Word. Let's actually get down on our spiritual knees and allow Christ's humility to filter in. And let's go out and to proclaim what it is that Christ has called us to do, and that's to go out into this world and to serve others. This morning, let's stop serving what we want to do. Let's stop serving ourselves and start serving God. Remove the self. Remove the selfishness. Because it has no place. It has absolutely no place in serving Christ. Someone will give you that opportunity. Let us close in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you again for this opportunity that you've given us to come together in your presence today. And Father, I thank you for the words that you've spoken this morning. Father, I pray that each and every one of us here would find places in our lives to become more like you. We thank you for that ultimate example of Jesus Christ. We thank you for his death and his resurrection so that it would give us eternal life, so that it would give us an eternal hope. We thank you for that, Father. Father, I pray as we walk through the doors this afternoon, pray that you'd put a hedge of protection around everybody here. I just pray that each of us would be the witnesses that you've called us to be this week. I pray that we would truly go out and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray that as people look at our lives, that they would be able to see those attributes of love, humility, everything your word tells us that you are. We thank you, Jesus. We love you and we praise you. And we ask all these things. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.